Welcome to the Valiant Central Podcast. I'm here, Duan is here, and we're talking some Valiant. That's what we do sometimes.
Sometimes.
I actually had a couple things I wanted to chat with you about, because we didn't talk about this last time. I think, as a matter of fact, the news came out after we chatted. But I know you're a collector guy, so yes, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this Glass Fallen World variant.
Oh, yeah, you're right in my wheel out. Alley of wheel, my wheel out. You're in the alley.
In the alley. So I'm going to have this chat also with Matt. So if you're listening to this, we're going to have Matt Klein come on later on in the episode. But I want to get some thoughts out of Duan as a collector, because I think you definitely got the metal covers. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious how you feel about this as opposed to those. Because I saw the video, and I think these look a lot nicer than the metal covers.
The glass covers are a lot better. They're a lot better. So as a recap, if you don't know about the metal or the glass covers, so basically what Valiant just takes a comic, right? And then they put a metal cover over, and the metal cover has the image of the comic or whatever the cover is on top of it, superimposed on top of the metal. And the back of it is just a regular comic. So, you know, it's kind of weird in that sense, because you would think if the front was metal, the back would be metal, and vice versa with the glass. Glass is on top of the cover.
Mm.
But the glass covers are a lot better, in my opinion. So I think the one I have right at this point is the Bloodshot Rising Spirit. And the Livewire,
yeah.
The first glass ones I have. So then they have the Fallen World one coming up, and there may be another one. I don't know if Punk Mambo would be glass. I know they have like a cover with it may have like poofy or fuzzy hair.
Yeah, the troll hair variant.
Right, exactly.
I love that. It's so cheesy, but I love it.
Right. So, you know what the best reaction I had from it is, you know, Ronnie and I joke a lot about, I read my comics a lot after work at a barbecue wing spot. You know, that's kind of like my reading spot at, you know, after my games at work, you know, after my main job. So I told an old guy who I know who collects a lot of Marvel, and I told him about the glass and the metal covers, and he just flipped out of it. He said, those are awesome. They got to be a lot of money. And I'm like, they cost a pretty penny, but he was super excited about it because it's something that the major comic book companies, they just don't do.
So I'm curious. So the rest of the comic is the same, right? So there's not like a special back or anything. So I'm trying to think, like, if you were to CGC a glass variant, like, you know, the front cover is going to be perfect, right? Because of the glass. But does that mean that it would be easier to get like a 10.0? If you were to get it slabbed as opposed to something else?
I'm not a big CGC-er and not knocking it. I know we talked, Jim from Collecting Valiant talked about this. You know, he had a hard time trying to buy one online because he couldn't figure out if the glass or the metal was perfect. More specifically, the glass. If it chipped or, you know, you can't really tell the condition trying to buy it off of eBay. The two that I have are in really good condition. So as long as your back cover's fine, you don't have any issues. One of them have a black back cover, which is kind of hard from what Jim tells me to CGC. Just like the Solar Men and Atom VH1.
Yeah.
It's really hard to try to get it made out of the black. And I think one of the glass covers, the back black cover. So you probably have some trouble with that. I do know, I think Justin had received a metal cover. I don't know which one it is, but he said he received it and the actual comic corners were up.
Really?
So they were actually bent. Yeah. So somehow they got, I don't know if in shipping or when they came from the distributor. So they were, it's not hard. It's still hard to get a 10.0. I think on the front cover, you wouldn't have any issue. You still have the remaining pages of the book and the back cover. You still have to. My issue is, how do you press it?
Yeah.
Pressed, you know, that's kind of your way to making sure you get like a 9.8, 9.6. Can you press the glass cover? I mean, the cover, to your point, that shouldn't be a problem. It's the remaining book.
Well, I mean, I guess you could press it from the back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would that work just as well? I would think so.
I'm not sure how pressing works. I don't know if they open it up and press it, you know, open it up to the middle pages and press it that way. They just, or do they turn it over on its back and press it? I would think with the glass cover, you'd be fine. With the metal, I don't know if it's stainless steel or not. So, you know, if you press it and there's some steam or some heat or some water, do you have a chance of the staples rusting?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've heard of people pressing their own stuff with just an iron before. So, I mean, I would assume if you know what you're doing, it wouldn't be terribly hard. I would feel a little weird putting an iron to my comics.
You got to go with somebody you know that knows what the hell they're doing. And I think Dennis has some experience pressing books.
Really?
Yeah.
Might need to ask him then.
Yeah, he's a really good person. Justin and Dennis, I know, and CGC.
So would you say these things are, if you were collecting these, is it worth mm-hmm. getting them for like, we'll say resale value maybe? So I was trying to find some of these, and like the Bloodshot glass covers are going for like $250, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, I guess kind of what I would expect them to be since they're, those were one in 250s also, right? Because these are, the Fallen World one is.
Yep. So the way I go about it with the LCS that I get the books from, I mean, they start at 200 because you have to look at it like this. In order for them to get the amount of books they need to get that cover, Valiant is probably making them buy those 250.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, whether or not Valiant will let them send books back is another issue. But by the time I finish paying for those books, I look and see what they're selling for eBay, and we renegotiate the price there. And my LCS that I get the books from is very flexible with me. So I don't know if it's the Harada metal cover or the Bloodshot Rising Spirit. It was going for like 160. Mm. 70, and I just email them and say, hey, eBay, they're going for eBay for 160. I say I'll buy it for 170.
Yeah, right. You know,
because they're flexible. But they do start off, basically, to answer your question, about 200, 250. So if you can get them less than that, you're good. And you probably can.
Yeah, I'm going through sold listings on eBay right now, and the Bloodshot is mostly like 150 and up. And mm-hmm. then the Livewire glass went from 100 to 250. So that's a pretty big difference on that one. I think that the thing is, I don't think the Livewire cover itself is as nice as the Bloodshot one, and neither are as nice as the Fallen World cover. I mean, I think that's just an awesome looking cover.
Well, the Fallen World one is the best one out of all of them.
Yeah.
Because the Rising Spirit and the Livewire, they're white covers with the glass over top, where the Fallen World has actual like the reddish mango color, some blues and black, so it kind of pops more in the glass than the Bloodshot Rising Spirit in the Live.
Yeah. I'm curious, and I'll probably ask Matt this: what kind of deal shops get on these? Because I know they're not, there's no limit on how many they can get, right? So if you wanted four, you order 1,000 copies and you get four glass covers, and usually, like, these kind of things will be marketed to somebody like you that wants to have all the special covers. And so mm-hmm. you're basically paying for those 250 copies, right? I mean, that's why you're paying $100, $200, $300 for these things.
Exactly. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. But if that's the case, I wonder, like, what the structure is set up like when shops buy the books, like in terms of how much they pay for these issues. I mean, usually you would think, I mean, a shop is probably paying like $1.25 to $2 per issue. That's why they're selling for four, right? So you always have like 100% markup at retail and things. Mm-hmm. But I think Valiant's usually been pretty good about doing a little bit lower on the pricing. I remember like when those EXO metal covers came out, I think retailers were paying like 85 cents a piece for those. So it's not like, I mean, it's still a big expenditure, right? Especially if you don't have a lot of Valiant people at your shop. And I don't mm-hmm. know, like, the shop that you go to, what it's like, but my local shop actually has quite a few Valiant people there. So they're able to order in larger quantities. But I'm curious for some of these other shops. I mean, even at 80 cents, you're still spending a few hundred bucks, right, to get these things in. And I haven't seen anything on returnability, so that does seem like a big investment for these books. unless you actually have somebody in your shop that wants one.
Yeah, that, like my LCS here, the only Valiant book he really bought a lot of, the Book of Death, I think, because they have the returnability. So I'm unable to get the glass and metal covers. There's another shop out west, southwest, the books from, and they have like multiple stores they can buy. Order the quantity do for them. And then I think they get about two of these special variant books. So they always sell me one. And any other stuff they have, like the Bloodshot Survival Kit, Comics Pro swag they get, they sell it to me. So it makes their order worthwhile. I said, so I'm basically paying for the quantity they get. And then usually Valiant will let you ship books you don't sell back. It's not a risk for them. They're actually making money off, which I think the intent is having. So if they can sell a second one, then it's money in the bank.
Right. Yeah, I guess that'd be tough. I've always made fun of variant covers. Even when I used to buy a bunch of them, I don't really buy a lot of variants now, if ever. I try to stick with A covers for the most part. Except for DC. I buy a lot of DC B covers because I think they're a little bit nicer for the most part. Okay. But like Marvel and DC don't really do ratioed variants, right? Like, I mean, there are some. Marvel still does them. DC very rarely does, unless it's a big special issue. But Valiant's always been pretty good about having all kinds of variants, right? Like you can pretty much guarantee every issue of a Valiant comic is going to have an A, a B, a 1 in 10, a 1 in 20. And then, you know, for number ones, you might have like a 1 in 50 or 1 in 100, 1 in 250 like this one. But it almost makes sense for a smaller company to get books out to shops to do an obscene number of variants, right? Because that that's how the shop is paying for their order. And especially if you only have a limited number of like really, really, what's the word that I want to do? I don't know. Like real fans, you know what I mean? Like you or I or people listening to this. It just makes sense to do more variants than some of the other companies that don't even really need to, right? Like, why would you need to do a bunch of variants on like Batman, right? You're going to sell 100,000 copies anyway, so who cares?
Well, that's the risk. You know, as a collector, if you look at the print runs on a lot of the Valiant variants, especially when they used to do the 1 in 50s, the 1 in 100s, you know, you normally, it was a number one issue or crossover. It's worth because if Valiant does take off, you know, print runs are so low, you know, but gamble. If you look at past history, the books, there's not a lot of people buying Valiant.
Sure. But there's there's always books that keep their value in the long term, right? Like there's a few of the Harbinger from VEI or VH1, some of those Solar books, things like that. Those have still kept value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have, but they're not variant.
Sure, yeah.
You know, the actual books. And they actually had some pretty decent print runs with them. So that the demand is there for those books. I'm interested to see when the movies finally come, there may be broader audience that may be interested in Valiant if those go up. So case in point, the Bloodshot Zero from VHI, there's a matte cover and a glossy. And the glossy cover is going for over $100. Well over 100 because the movie, you know, speculation is ramping. So I think somebody said there for every 10 regular Bloodshot Zero covers, there was kind of a glossy cover.
Okay.
So if you can get a glossy cover and it's CGC, people want them now.
Yeah.
So they're going out. And it's total speculation, just like any other run, you know, just like with the Harley Quinn, Batman Adventure, total speculation. But, you know, if it does take off when the movies come, you got something there.
Yeah.
If not, you get on a podcast like this and you say, well, I'm one of those guys that got those glass covers. You know?
Yeah, I remember when, before DMG got involved, I remember there were all those rumors about movies. And then the DMG announcement came out and they had done a press conference or whatever. Remember that when they did the press conference in China? Matter of fact, that's one book that I wouldn't mind having. There was like some kind of promo books put out at that press conference and they're like impossible to find. So when you do find one, they're like I can't remember what it was, like $400 or $500. And there's no way I'm going to be spending that on one of those books. But it had, you know, like the logos in Chinese or whatever. I wouldn't mind having one of those. But when that announcement was made about the movies, there was like a 3 or 4 month period where like everything was super high. I mean, you couldn't find any variant for less than, you know, whatever the ratio was, right? So like a 1 in 50, nothing less than like $50.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas normally, like if you get it immediately, you'll probably pay that 50. But if you wait a couple months, you might find it for like 30 or 40, right?
Right, right.
But yeah, for a while, it was just crazy how high all the books were. And I thought about selling a bunch of them, but I can't sell my comics. Yeah. I've tried. I mean, I sell doubles, but I don't have a lot of doubles. You know what I mean?
Right. It's all about buying and selling at the right time. So after the sale to DMG for Valiant, you know, we talked about this before. There was somebody who was selling really, really hard to find Valiant variants, air books. And you gotta buy them then. So some of those DMGs that came on online on eBay after the sale to DMG, like you said, they were going for $500 at least on eBay initially, but you could get, I think some people got them for $200, $50.
Really?
And I think the Bloodshot one is harder to get than the Harbinger one. So obviously you want a pair. You want the Harbinger and you want the Bloodshot one. But I think the Bloodshot one is rare or harder to get. So I know somebody that bought one and they just kept popping up for some reason. So there were people out there that had them and wanted to sell them. You know, I don't know if they thought Valiant was going downhill at that point, but the sales. So there were a lot of good books, man. There were a lot of, and I took advantage of them, man. I got some books I never thought I would get. I was able to get them. So I know towards the end before the sale, some of the hot books were the XO Run 1 in 50 towards the end.
Yeah.
Really hard to get the Ninjak ones, like Ninjak 23, 24, 25, the Temple Smith and what's her name? What's the lady's name?
Oh yeah. Wood.
Latoy, or there's one with her. She has a cover. She draws a lot of female characters.
Tula Lote.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh God. I love her stuff.
She's got one that's kind of hard to get.
She's awesome, dude. Matter of fact, I recently bought, she's got an art book out now. I bought that because I just love her style.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So is this like a collection of her work or?
No, they're like original paintings and stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you get it from the guy from C2E2?
No, I got it from her.
Oh.
Yeah, she did like a limited run. I can't remember how many copies she made. But yeah, I ordered one.
And that might be worth something. That's maybe. Nice.
I'm not good giving job. It away.
Probably in the back of your truck right now.
It might be. No, my truck's clean. And I brought probably about a quarter of my comics into my office now. I got to get the rest of them out of the rest of the house.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So what do you have? Do you have actual floppies or do you?
Oh yeah, I've still got a ton of floppies. Even though I'm reading mostly digital, I've got a ton of floppies still.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I've got dozens of boxes, dude.
So do you do the Mylights, the E Gerbers?
Of course, Mylights and halfbacks always.
Oh, isn't that the best?
It is. It is. It's like dressing your wife in sexy lingerie. You know what I mean?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
You're not lying. So, you remember when we were at the con and I bought that was it Megaton?
Yep.
3, the first Savage Dragon.
Yep.
Thing that sold it was in good condition and it was in a Mylite.
Yeah.
So it just pops. It's just like you said, it's like buying a Victoria's Secret model.
See?
With the second line, there you go.
You gotta invest in good supplies, man. It's not just about the comics.
Yep. Yep.
It's not just sell about it. The comics. Yeah, and like I said, I don't care about selling my stuff. You know what I mean? Like if I buy something, it's for me, not to make money on it.
Right.
But yeah. I want my comics taken care of because I'm gonna read the shit out of them.
No doubt. No doubt.
So there's that.
You know what's happening with me is I don't even read floppies anymore if I can help it.
Yeah.
I'll just throw them into my lights and then I'll buy them digitally. Yeah. I don't want to touch my books. And I feel bad about it. Like, am I being obsessive here?
No, I know what you mean. Because for a while I was doing the same thing. I was double dipping a lot of stuff. And then I was like, I'm just kind of wasting money, you know what I mean? Like, I'm already buying them one way, just read them that way. But there are a few books that I still do. I mean, I only do physical books. It's got to be like less than 20 a month. But you know, I read like between 80 and 100 a month. It's just easier to do it on Comixology, so I do it that way. But there's things that like I still want to support physically, right? Because they track those sales. They don't really track Comixology sales. So like Aftershock stuff, some Valiant stuff, Batman the Detective I still get in floppies. But see, that one I double dip because I get those digital and physical. And half the time, I don't even read the digital copy that I get. I don't even know why I'm getting it.
So you're behind?
I am behind. That's a different story. You know, I'm not a big fan of that run, but I am behind a little bit. But I still do it. I still do it. It's just easier. You know what I mean? Like I like supporting my shop. It's a great freaking shop. They put a great con every year. But man, I just driving out 30 minutes to get my comics. It's just, I don't have the patience for that. And I was doing DCBS for the longest time, but then I don't want to wait a week or 2 weeks to get my comics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
You gotta your LCS is awesome. Like, was that Borderlands
Yeah,
you go to?
Borderlands.
Yeah, they're great.
They are fantastic.
That reminds me. There's a new shop that popped up right by this credit union where I pay my car note. And a friend of mine, his grandson owns it, and he's just like, "You gotta go. You gotta go out." Haven't went in there, and I went in there, and I was kind of torn. Okay, so I went in there, and he has all these new books on the shelf. Like, they're all new books. They're like, all right, that's fine. Then he has kind of his trades, and he has two little arcade games and a couch in there, and then a couple books. The couch. And then he has his backstock room. In his backstock room, comics. Some of them are bagged. Some of them are not. None of them are boarded.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got some old stuff, and they're just not in good condition. And I'm like, should I really rag on this guy? Or is this how, shops start? They just start with back stock that they have, and then they eventually buy people's collections, and then they just build up their back stock. Or is this guy just not up on his game, So I was
Yeah,
torn.
it could be a combination. A few years ago, I found this shop. So for the longest time, I thought Borderlands was the only shop in town. But the matter of fact, there's another one like 2 blocks from Borderlands. I think it's Freddy's. And they have an extensive backstock collection. Matter of fact, their building's 2 stories. So when you go in, it's just like at ground level. But if you were to go in from the back of the building, it's on a hill. And so they have a basement. And the whole basement is all back issues. So they do sales, a couple times a year. And it's nice going down there because there's a lot of room to walk around and it's just long boxes all over the place. The shop itself is kind of cramped, to be honest. But there was, what was I on? I think it was when I was still on Facebook. I saw this thing, like some giant sale at some shop. And I was like, what the hell is this shop? I've never even heard of this. So I go out there, and it took me a second to find it. It was in like a little strip mall by a supermarket, and I go in there, and the shop's laid out pretty nicely, but he doesn't have a lot of backstock comics, right? I think there was a table in the middle of the room, and it was basically a room that had, I don't know, maybe 20 long boxes, and then one wall was new comics, and then there was a wall of toys, and behind the counter was all the slab stuff. And I ended up buying a Solar. Which one was the black one?
10.
10. There you go. I ended up buying one from him. I already had one at the time, but I bought it anyway because I got him down to a good price. But one thing I noticed was all his back issues were kind of expensive, to be honest with you. And I was like, well, no wonder this guy's doing the sale. Like, he doesn't really have any customers. I mean, the sale was great. It was like 75% on back issues. And there was like me and one other guy in there. And I was like, well, crap. So I started talking to him about the stuff he had behind the counter, and everything was overpriced. I mean, he wanted at the, like, I think it was like $80 for that Solar.
What?
Yeah. And at the time, it was worth a little bit more. But I was like, dude, I bought mine for like 15. Are you sure that you want to sell this for 80? He's like, yeah, I just go by the book. And I was like, all right. I was like, that might be why you're not selling, dude. If you're going by the book, prices are always a little bit higher. You know what I mean? Right. And I ended up not buying a whole lot from him. And the reason he was having the sale was because he was on the brink of shutting down the shop. So he needed the additional income. And I guess the sale didn't go very well because he ended up closing the store like a month later. Mm. But a few months ago, there was another one that opened up, and it's actually like a sub shop of a different shop that's like 30 minutes the other way from me. And mm-hmm. I never go that way because it's – that one's really out of to go to Borderlands, I just get on the highway and go. This, like, you got to go through, like, this downtown little area and all the, whatever. It's too much work. But they opened up a small shop in Greenville, and it's kind of like what you're talking about. You go in, and the one wall is all new comics, and they're all laid out really nicely. The racks are nice. You can actually see the full cover. A lot of shops end up covering like, you know, a third or half the comic sometimes on the racks. You can see the whole rack. And then in the middle, there's like glass display cases with statues. And there's a pop vinyl section. And then lengthwise, there's two bookshelves, just all trades. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to be like thousands of trades. And it's lined out really nicely. But I talked to the guy. I was like, do you have any back issues that I can go through? He's like, not really. He's like, I've got some long boxes in the back in the office, but all the back issues are kept at the main store. And so, you know, I ended up going back maybe once after that, but, you know, already going to Borderlands and buying comics, I was like, eh, there's no point in me going to this other place, you know what I mean? They don't have, like, anything new and different for me to get.
Right. So they basically are going, are they going off of people wanting to have pull lists from them?
Or yeah.
Buying trades? You know, statues or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, I think mostly trades. I mean, that trade section was huge. For the size of the store, it was mostly trades.
Well, that's weird because I guess there's a market for it. I don't know because, like, for me, you know, I get my pull from my shop, and my shop doesn't carry any value other than back issues. Mm-hmm. He only has me and another customer. And then we get back issues, but he has tons of back issues. He's always buying people's collections. And he has tons of CGC, so when he buys collections, he has old Golden Age, Silver Age books, and he gets them slabbed, you know. So, but he doesn't do eBay either, which I told him once, like, you need to do eBay. And he's like, nope. Like, I hear too many bad stories. Nope, I'm doing eBay. Yeah, but his shop is growing, man. It's like, he's my LCS is moving into a bigger shop in the same shopping plaza. And he's hiring 4 employees. So I'm like, he must be doing something right because there's 2 larger comic book stores in Columbus. The Laughing Ogre, which is like huge, like well-known comic shop, Comic Town. And there's one on the west side in Hilliard that's got some awards from San Diego Comic Con. We've got some big shop city. And for him to be expanding like that, I'm like, he must be doing something right, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I'm a back issue guy. Like you said, I want to look through back issues because I want to find those books, you know, that are rare. Like, I found that, you know, listening to Mike and Bill talk, I found that Ram number 2 with the Youngblood, the first or the second Youngblood. I found that for $5.
Wow. Like, 25%
off, you know, and it's in great condition. Hmm. So that's fun for me, is digging through those books, you know?
Yeah. 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 Borderlands is the same. They bought a giant building. They haven't moved over there yet, but it is freaking huge because they don't really have storage space, right? Like, I mean, there's a storage area, and the building's fairly big. Like, the back half, there's always a ton of long boxes back there, and there's a game section. But for the amount of things they do there, they definitely needed more space. And they bought this giant building. It was all over the news and stuff. They did a big story about it. Yeah. I can't remember what it used to be. But it used to be something else, and they're going to use it for, like, warehouse space and set up the shop in the front. So, yeah, they do very well also, I think.
You know what I liked about Borderlands? I think when I first started listening to you and Paul talk about, you know, podcasting or whatnot, and then you talked about Borderlands, I think I bought some books off of them, and I had an issue.
Yeah.
And they were just like, keep that book. We'll send you another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, are you serious? Like, yep, don't worry about it. You're cool. Like, that's cool. They didn't have any issues, no hassle. They were awesome. And that's what you need, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had stuff where I'd get on eBay and buy stuff, and then after I pay it, I realize, oh, I just bought this in Borderlands. So I'll call or I'll show up there and be like, hey, I just bought this on eBay. Can I just pick it up here? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, I'll just refund you the shipping. I'm like, all right. That's cool. Yeah, they're real good up there.
You don't see that a lot of times. So that's kudos to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. I agree. Did you, I don't know if you saw this thing, this USB drive thing with the Valiant Comics?
Yeah, I didn't know if we talked about this in the last issue or not.
No, so we didn't.
I thought about that. I got a lot of stuff to say about that. So go ahead, you go first.
I was just kind of curious to go to the other direction, you know, outside of physical comics. Because, I mean, obviously I do a lot of digital, so this makes sense to me. But I wonder, like, how popular this would be. Because there's two, I don't know if you saw that, there's two different versions of it.
Yep.
Okay, so this company, what is it? Git, I think it's called Git Corp. They're selling a USB drive with every Valiant comic from May 2012 until December 2018. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're basically getting everything except the last couple months of stuff. And it's, what was it, like $60 for 600 books, basically. And then there's like a collector's edition that's $90 that's got all those, plus it sends you this like film reel cards or whatever and a little viewer for them. I don't quite understand what that is. Maybe some kind of like, it almost looked like a little hologram card. Remember the little hologram cards you used to get in like Wizard Magazine back in the day? Right. It almost feels like that, except, I don't know. Maybe they're like 3D in this viewer or something. I can't really tell. And that one was $90. So yeah, I'm curious what your thoughts are on this.
Well, I was excited at first, you know, for $60, you can get, like you said, basically the whole library of the new Valiant. And then for 90, the viewer cards, and I don't know what the hell they are, but I got them. I bought $90. And they basically, from what I understand, they just send you a USB.
Yeah.
USB with all the books on it. Yep. So I'm like, what? So I was excited at first. And then after I purchased it, I said, this is like a slap in the face because all these years we've been collecting these books since 2012. You've been collecting all these books, all the variants, you know, following these storylines. You're investing in it and your time is money. And now you can say somebody out the blue who's interested in Valiant can buy the whole Valiant library from 2012 for $60.
I'm going to give you a counter argument that's actually your argument.
Okay.
Because you're one of those guys that wants their books nice. You're sometimes maybe scared to open your books because you don't want to mess them up. This is perfect for you, dude. You already have your giant Valiant collection in your boxes. If you want to read them, you just pop your USB disk in and read them.
That, I did think about that too, because I still have holes and there's still books that I haven't read. So, you know, if you want to read Dead Drop, you have it right there.
You know, I don't know about that.
But, you know, no harm, no foul. I mean, $60, you can get it. You know?
Sure.
So, but as a collector, I kind of felt like, is this a slap in the face? Like all this time, you know, I think I've been collecting Valiant against for like 4 or 5 years. And if I knew they would come out with something like this, I would have waited.
No, you wouldn't have.
No, I wouldn't have. Cause I still want the box. But for the stories, you know, like every week I go to the comic shop every week or two to get my books, read them, you know, go to my wing spot and read the books.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're on the disc. So I'm happy now, but then. Did I waste my time? I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted, Martin. You got to help me through it. Like I'm on the couch. You're my therapist. You got to help me.
So I think the way that you read comics, it's actually perfect for you. Like I said, because you don't need to pop out, you know, your boxes and go through things and find the comics. You just plug in your USB drive and go. I think maybe for people that have gone mostly digital, this is more of a slap in the face. If you're a physical reader, then I think you should get this, right? Especially if you're a Valiant fan. Cause then you don't need to mess up your comics. You don't need your dirty, dirty hands on them.
Yeah, you don't need your wing barbecue sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
Tips on, yes.
But see, somebody like me, that yes, I do have a lot of physical copies, but I do buy all of them digitally, and I have for quite a while. And Valiant was one of those things that I was double dipping for the longest time, physical and Comixology. For me, it does bug me a little bit. You know what would be cool is if they were like, hey, you've been buying on Comixology. Here's like 10% discount code or whatever, 20% discount code.
Right.
Then I can maybe get behind it because there's no DRM, right? So if you get them on Comixology, they're yours forever, right? It's not like Marvel or DC that you have to be on the app to read them. All the independent publishers are basically DRM free PDFs that you can read. And I mean, I can go on my Comixology account and download whatever many 600 comics. I can download 600 comics, and put them on a USB drive. But like, this is pretty convenient, dude. You know what I mean? And for somebody that's brand new, I mean, you have the barrier of entry at $60, which maybe seems a little high, right? If you're brand new to Valiant, do you want to spend $60? I don't think this is necessarily targeted towards new people. I think this is targeted to people that are already Valiant fans. Because I mean, if you go to a con, and I see this all the time, right? Not just at Valiant, but with every publisher. You go to a con, mm-hmm. you see a new publisher, you're like, all right, I'll buy like an issue and see what it's like, right? Or if the creator's there and they give you a good pitch, you might be like, all right, I'll buy the trade, right?
Right.
And if it's been going on for a while, maybe you're like, okay, I'll go back and read it, pick up a second volume or a third volume, because I really liked it. But, you know, it's also a con and you have discounts, right? Like Valiant always does, I can't remember what it is, like 3 for $20 or 3 for $25 on the trades. I mean, even then, sure, you're getting a lot less comic, I'm just wondering how many people are just willing to plop down $60 on a USB key.
I would. So if Lion Force did it or Aftershock did it.
Yeah.
And said, you can get our whole collection, $60. Con, C2E2 2020. I'm like, hell yeah.
Hmm.
Because my introduction into Lion Force were you guys.
Yeah.
And I just been buying trades, you know, going after the trades. And I still don't have the whole story. So if you're saying I can plop $60. I mean, that's like a sketch cover.
Sure.
From an artist.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I do it. I did it. So my point is, why is Valiant doing it? Like, I can see if the movie was coming out and they wanted people to be introduced to Valiant and they said for $60 or $90, you can get the whole shebang.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Marvel DC guy, you heard about Valiant, but you never read it. You plop $60, you can get the whole story. Hell yeah. It's easy. But so I'm thinking like, why is Valiant doing it now? Like, what's their purpose?
Yeah, why not? Dude, Valiant always, for years, always has these crazy things that just pop out and they try them. And sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. But, I mean, this would be something like Humble Bundle, right? Humble Bundle has done Valiant bundles before,
mm-hmm.
where you pay, whatever, $15 and you get 200 comics.
Right.
Same kind of deal. I still think that the price point is a little high for just somebody out of the blue. Even if it is a good deal, right? I mean, you're paying what, like 6 or 10 cents an issue, basically. Like it's a freaking steal. But it still seems like a high barrier of entry for somebody. I don't know, man.
This is my test case.
Yeah,
now, you know, Paul is all about price per comic.
Uh-huh.
You think Paul would pull the trigger on this? If you said, Paul, I can give you every Valiant 2012 to now for $60, and he does his little calculator in his head, you think he'd pull the trigger?
I think he would like the price per comic price, but mm-hmm. I still think it would be too much.
But he would be my test case. Like, he's one of those, who else is a price per comic? Nick is?
Nick, yep.
Nick. You think Nick would pull the trigger?
I don't know, man. I feel like neither of them would, but
really,
I'll ask them and see what they say.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I'm just talking in a sterile situation. You know, look, you had $60 in your pocket, and you can get all these books for $60. Pull it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't think twice about it. Like, I didn't even know about it. So I don't know how well this is marketed.
Right.
But when, you know, I think Justin or JC told me about it. And when I saw it, I said, hell yeah. Yeah. Because I could read some of the stuff that I hadn't read yet.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was a no-brainer for me, you know? Now, I didn't even research it. Like, I didn't know it was on a thumb drive. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I'll take it, whatever.
Yeah.
Read it.
Well, one thing that I did like is that it's got the two USB plugs. So one's for a computer and the other one is for like a phone or a tablet. I think I think that's pretty slick. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, so you can just plug it into your phone and read it on the way to work, on the subway or whatever.
Like Daryl does.
Yeah, like Daryl does.
So the one for your tablet, is it just like you take your tablet charger and you hook it up to the USB port and then like,
yeah,
it can go into your iPad?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll send you a link to the picture of this thing. But on one side, it's got the big square plug, the big square USB plug. And on the other side, it's got like the little micro USB or whatever.
See, that's awesome. They should sell it. So I know the $90 one was limited to, what, 500 copies or something?
Yeah, something like that.
And then I don't think there was a limit to the 60. So for $60, that's, man, you can get the whole history of Valiant from 2012 to now, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
No brainer. Grow some new, just increase your paper route or cut a few more lawns, whatever you do. Take out the trash for your mom and get your allowance up. And it's a no-brainer. You know?
Mm-hmm.
No-brainer.
I guess. I'm undecided yet.
So you're not pulling the trigger?
I don't know yet. If I do, it's going to be the one with the film cards.
Yeah. And I don't even know what that's about, but I know Justin said he got that version, and
yeah,
that's the one I got. So I looked at it as it was like a Dungeon and Dragon kind of thing, or you remember the some of the EXO covers where you could scan it on your phone and you can hear.
Oh yeah, the QR variants.
The QR variants.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of how I took it, and I'm like, whatever. I mean, all right, it's cool to have. Maybe worth something, but who knows?
Yeah.
Whatever.
God, I'll just get those. I miss those QR variants.
Were they nice? Like, I had never listened to one.
I love them. You can find all the videos I play on YouTube if you just like if you search like whatever it was, like EXO Manowar QR or Harbinger QR, you can find them on there. I just thought it was cool, you know, like you scan it and you put your phone on it and it looks like your comic's talking. It's stupid, you know what I mean? But like whatever, all the gimmicks are stupid. It's just fun.
Those books are kind of worth a little bit more than cover price, so that's cool.
Yeah, I think they were all 1 in 50s.
1 in 50s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that was that was earlier on too, so some of those were a little bit harder to find.
So my question for you, Martin, is did you hear the Dice Art interview from WonderCon that was on, I forgot what podcast?
I have not.
It's very interesting. Dice Art's kinda all over the place.
He's great.
Yes, he is. Very. I would love for you to do an interview with him. I think you guys would vibe.
Oh, I did an interview with him a couple years ago.
I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It might be time for another one. Matter of fact, I had talked to him a couple weeks ago, because he's got that book out for TKO.
Mm-hmm.
So we might be doing one to talk about that. But yeah, I'm sure I can talk to him about Harada and stuff as well.
That was a good interview. I won't go into it. I think it was what podcast was it? Only the Valiant.
Okay, yeah.
I think they a little interview with him. So that was, it was kind of good.
That's awesome.
And where he's just, his mind just goes. It just goes all over the place. It's all over the place. But you know, he just questions everything.
Yeah.
You know, he just questions why this, why that. So I thought it was good. So and you kind of want a guy like that writing a Toyo Harada book.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, that book's really good too. I'm enjoying that.
That's good. You know a book I'm excited about?
Mm.
I think I chatted with you about Punk Mambo.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm excited about it is because I think she has more pull than Shadow Man as far as the dead side. You know, because I went back and read Punk Mambo Zero, and it looked like she grew up in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
maybe, and tell me if I'm wrong. So she grew up in Louisiana, but she was really bright. So she went to some really smart boarding school in England.
And no, I think, really, I think it's the other way around. No. I think she's from England and she ended up moving to Louisiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was more so, it was just like, okay, she's super smart, but she didn't want to be a really smart girl. So she went punk route.
Mm-hmm.
But she really didn't fit in the punk route. She just wanted to be that type of person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she had some people kind of introduce her to that life. So she never, to me, she never really fit in on either side. She's drifting.
Right.
Super smart, and but she wants to be a rebel, but she doesn't totally fit into that rebel side. So she's kind of finding her way. And that's very unique, where Shadow Man kind of, this new iteration of Shadow Man is like, oh, woe is me. I'm here trying to find myself. Mm-hmm. So they're both trying to find themselves, but I think Punk Mambo has more of a command of what she wants to do and what she can control on Earth as well as in the Dead Side. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how this plays out.
You know? It was good. You read that first issue, right?
I did, and I don't want to dig into it.
Not today. It's not out yet.
Not today. Right. But yeah, I was super excited. Super. Cullen did a great job.
I agree. We should talk about it next time. Mm-hmm. It'll be out by next time.
Yeah, I think people will be really excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll talk to Cullen. Maybe we can get Cullen on for a few minutes to chat about it too.
Isn't Cullen a cool dude?
Yeah, Cullen's a cool dude. He's got a podcast on our network. Of course he's a cool dude.
It's true.
He's got like three podcasts on our network.
Well, his wife is the coolest.
So his wife is the best.
He is the best.
If you've never, if you don't follow Cindy Bunn on Twitter, then do yourself a favor.
Yes.
And then go listen to The Bungalow with Cullen and Cindy Bunn.
They are a treat.
They are a treat. That's for sure.
What's her bathroom story? Did you hear her bathroom story?
Oh, which one was the bathroom story?
Where she?
Oh yes, 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 yes. Oh my gosh, she's a freaking national treasure, dude! I tell you.
Yes.
I was very sad that she didn't come with Cullen to C2E2.
Oh, and then Cullen got sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he ate that nasty Chicago pizza.
Well, he went to the wrong. We ate like kings at ours.
Well,
we ate like
they went to Giordano's too, but they went to the other one.
Exactly, they went to the wrong location.
Mm, yeah, you're right. You're right. All right, let's wrap this up, Dwan.
I'm sorry.
We're gonna wrap this up. If you're still listening, up next is my chat with Matt Klein. So stay tuned for that, and then we'll come back and sign off.
Yes, sir.
So thanks for coming on, guys. I had a couple questions, actually. So Dwan and I recorded an episode last night, and we're going to tack this onto that because I was curious, having a marketing guy, a sales guy here. We talked a little bit about the glass variant covers. And I was curious how the idea for the glass variants came out and kind of what the reception has been like on those on the retailer side.
Well, so here's the story. So myself, publisher Fred Pierce, sat in a room with Robert Myers. I think with Mel was on the phone at the time as well. And we're just spitballing because this is Valiant. You know, if we're going to do something special like a variant cover, we want to do a really cool one. And we had done the medals, and the medals were very, very, very well received, but you can only do so many for so much time until it's time for something new, something fresher.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what the marketplace always dictates. At a certain point, you've done as many as you should do. So we were thinking, what is the complete opposite of metal? Wood was thrown out there. Kevlar was talked about. That's not really the opposite. But we thought of, like, what about an etched cover or something like that? I think carbon fiber was discussed at one point, and then, but we came on, like, glass, and I think it was Fred who said it, and I was just like, you know, I can't think of too many glass covers, and so we started to do some research and go out there, and we said, how could we make a glass cover? And we all looked at each other and said, we have no idea, let's ask the printers. So, but we were all really excited, because we were like, you know, has anyone ever done this? to this day, we haven't been able to find an example of someone else doing a glass comic book cover in this style. So we just started brainstorming, and we started talking to printers all over the country, types of glass, getting samples into the office, testing them out. I remember when we finally got the sample that we use now for our glass covers, Fred actually took a hammer to it just to try it. We dropped it. We tested it all sorts of ways. Some people were like very like, oh, no, and Fred was just like, here's a hammer. Boom. Because he understood what tempered glass was better than the rest of us. So that was kind of how it started. And what's really exciting is to see how it's evolved because, one, it was something we didn't know how we were going to do it. We just decided we were going to do it, and we found a way. And we really were so thrilled and happy that we got to create something that is arguably the first ever of its kind, and the quality of it is unbelievable. And so Bloodshot Rising Spirit was the first one. And then this is where our production team comes in, because Travis Escafroleri, who is our head of production, is an absolutely brilliant design mind. And so he goes, you know, for Livewire, we can make it glow in the dark under UV light. Like, we can put some ink on there and have it etched a little bit, and then it just snowballs. And then for each one, we just start looking at what works for the book. And for Harada, the third one, we were like, well, it's a story about a man who covers up his age, so we had this idea of a Dorian Gray sort of effect, and we were able to get the metallic ink on there to create this kind of distressed look that if you look at it, I believe it's if you go from the top left corner to the bottom right, it gets less distressed and more pristine so that you can then see yourself as a mirror in there. For Fallen World, we started to say, well, what if we print it on the front and the back of the glass? Because for the design that we got in from Doug Braithwaite, I believe it was, there was enough there to almost give it a 3D sort of effect that the art inspired for us. And so that's what's been really cool is, like, we never want to do the same thing twice. So yes, they're glass covers, and at the same time, every one is completely unique, and we've tried something different on each of them. And we just keep trying to top ourselves, because one of the great things about Valiant, especially right now and with the crew that we have, there's no fear about not coming up with the next great idea. We know we will. We know we can. We know we have the brain power. We have the minds. We have the staff. We have the support. We have the excitement. And we have the want to do it. And so we don't mind if we have a great idea right now and we have to come up with another great idea a month from now. We know we can. And, you know, we've done a tremendous job. The retailers that we've spoken to and that I've heard about personally, man, they were so skeptical.
I bet, yeah.
They were like, how's this going to work exactly? And I was able to bring a sample down to Baltimore Comic Con last year. And I was able to walk the floor, and I showed about over 24 retailers that sample. And they just went, holy smokes, you did it. This is what it's going to be. And so since then, with each one, they've just been really, really, really excited. It's just been, they have been fans again. You know, a lot of times when you're submitting to get a variant, it's a piece of artwork, you know, and that's great, and we've done that in the past, and we'll do it again, I'm sure, you know, for certain books. But when you can give someone an experience, when you can make somebody whose job is to spend 18 hours for 1 week a month going through 600 or 500 items it is out of a previews catalog, and you can get them back to that childhood fascination that we all had with comics, that's really special. And that's something that we really have seen with these retailers and with the fans who get them. It's one of the things why we didn't, you know, try to get them pre-graded and slabbed is there's something just so giddy about being able to hold one of these in your hand and feel the weight and see how it's done. Like, you want to put your hands on this cover, which is really exciting. It's really cool, and it kind of, on some level, is how we think it should be with comics.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the slabbing, because that's something that we discussed last night as we were talking about this. Dewan's a huge collector. He, sight unseen, he basically mm-hmm. buys anything Valiant, right? All the variant covers, regardless. We talked about the Git Corp USB keys last night. He got one of those
as
well.
Oh, nice.
So I had a question about the key as well. But I'm curious, when you guys are designing some of these initiatives, how much you take into consideration the collector market, right? Because I remember when the metal covers came out, a lot of those were getting graded and graded very well because of the stock of the book and the metal cover. And it seems like putting the glass on the book would even make it more of a collector's item because I'm sure they're going to slab pretty well, right? I would assume the majority of them could end up being 9/8 or higher.
Oh, yeah. When you go to CBCS and you get your stuff slabbed, I mean, it's also just because the damn things are so much harder to dent or scratch than the metal covers are. Like this glass, I mean, we had to drop it from, I think it was like something around 7 feet on its corner when it was slab, and the only thing that got damaged was the slab.
Oh, wow.
Like these things have been stress tested. We've put chairs to these covers. We've loaded them up with 100 pounds of pressure from graphic novels and hardcovers overnight, came back in the next morning. Nothing, not a shard, not a crack. So these are far more durable than the metal covers are. And CBCS was just salivating when we sent it to them. And they were like, absolutely, we are totally down to slab them. And they become the partner for these glass covers specifically. As far as how much we take into account the collector's market, we do take it into account. The first thing we think of, though, is what would be fun. What would be cool? Like, that's the first thing, you know, as it should be. It should be, what experience can we offer a fan for this? And then after that, then we start thinking about the collector's market. Then we start thinking about, you know, the aftermarket value, what this is going to mean. And that was the other thing we were so excited with in terms of the glass. We knew it would preserve extremely, extremely well for many, 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 many years. And so that's really been, you know, one of those things. So we do take it into account, but the first driving factor we have is it fun? Is this something we think the fans are going to enjoy? Is this something that we're getting excited about? Because we know that if we start to get excited about it, then that's step one. And then will the fans get excited about it? That's step two. Will the retailers get excited about it? That's the next step. And then we start thinking about the collector's market and the aftermarkets.
That's fair enough. And that actually brought up the discussion of the key. Because like I said, Duan bought it straight up. I'm undecided yet because I do own the majority of my collection is both physical and digital. I double dip a lot of things. And I was curious how – yeah, I mean, it's just easier, right? You sometimes don't want to go and find your box and, you know, dig out the books and whatever. Just get on your computer and go or your tablet or whatever. But I'm curious how.
Especially my better half. So she does not like me having the boxes all over. We moved into a new place in September and we have a storage locker in the building. Guess where she makes me put all of my comics, all of my short and long boxes are. I now literally have to go into a basement of a building to flip through my comics. And you know what? She's worth it. So I'm with you. I buy both digitally and I buy hard copy at my local shops every single week, pretty much.
That's good. So how did this whole USB key thing come about? And my curiosity really is, what do you guys feel is the market? Because that's something that we kind of went back and forth on it. I automatically, instinctively assumed that maybe a newer person of Valiant would be interested in this because you can hop in and get the whole collection. But at the same time, it seems like at the price point, that might be a little tough, right? Like you can go to a con and you guys always have great deals on the trades, for example. And so you can pick up, you know, a couple trades for really nothing and get in rolling on the universe. But is that the market for this or is it something else?
You know, I think right now we're kind of playing with what the market is. You know, for my money, I can see it both ways. One, it could be a bit accessible for a new, you know, someone who's never read a Valiant comic before. Suddenly, here it is on a hard drive, ready to go, everything for like 6 years. But the price point is a question mark on there, and the price point suggests a little bit more of a collectability to it, in my opinion. And so we also look at it as one more item, one more opportunity for a little bit of that collector's market as well, one more way that we can consume in terms of it. But also, to my mind, you know, one of the things that I saw when I was working in a shop that I think really works well for this is that I remember when the day and date with New 52 happened, and everybody was sounding the alarms, oh my God, it's going to kill comic book shops. The exact opposite happened in the shop I was at. We started getting people in who said, hey, I read this story online, and now I want to come in and buy it physically. And as soon as I had that, I was able to say, great, and have you also read X, Y, Z, and so on. And then the experience of coming into the shop, creating that sense of community and creating a welcoming environment and making sure that everyone knew that they were a part of something and that they had a safe, fun place to come to and discover, really actually digital helped tremendously. And on some level, I'm hoping that for someone who's never experienced a Valiant comic before, this kind of product will actually help encourage them to do that, because that is one of the cool things that we find from a lot of readers who go into shops is sometimes they read it digitally first, and after reading 10 books, they say, oh, here are the two that I have to own. I want this in my house. I want to display this. I want to make sure that people know I have this, and I want to be able to access it and smell the paper. And it gets them in the shop, and that's always part of the goal with us as well, is making sure how can we reach those customers who aren't going into shops. Is this one more tool that can actually help promote that? So I think it can do that. And then on the other hand, I think it also allows for, you know, collectors like you and me to say, oh, here's a really new cool thing. Here's a new way that I haven't consumed this material. And I get all these bells and whistles to it in this really cool packaging. And that's something I can also display as part of my collection.
So going along with, it's my final question, going along with this digital thing, I know you guys do focus pretty well on the actual shops. In particular, yeah. We discussed a little bit about variants last night. You guys have always been really great about doing multiple variants, which I'm sure helps sell some of those books, right, when you have larger orders. But I'm curious, how much focus is there at Valiant on the digital market? And I don't know how much you guys can discuss on that, because I know, like numbers, for example, are very hush-hush among really all publishers. Nobody really wants to talk numbers. But how much focus do you guys put on, say, Comixology or any of the other places, Drive-Thru Comics or whatever?
We've actually been putting a little bit more focus with a place like Drive-Thru this year. We were really excited for that opportunity. For me, this is partly personal, and this is partly for me looking at numbers. I think our industry will always live and die by the shops themselves, by going, because that's where your destination becomes. That's where you want to be. That's where you make it a point to be every Wednesday. That's where you grow the sense of community. And Wednesdays are still, I would argue, for 99% of shops, it's still their biggest day of the week. We started to see Saturdays are creeping up on those Wednesday numbers as well. But, you know, very few people go in to a comic book shop on a Wednesday saying, I have to get this new graphic novel that came out. They go in there saying, I have to get this new comic. And that's where you have the most chance of creating a new fan, not just of Valiant, but of comics in general, and creating that sense of community that really makes what we do and what we are all part of. And I mean, from me to Greg to you, everyone else at Valiant Central and everybody on the Valiant fan boards, you know, we all met because we went into comic shops and we fell in love with something there. And we found out that there were other people who loved what we loved, and creates that sense of community and that sense of connection. So for us, we're always going to want to make sure that that kind of community and that outreach and the direct market is probably the number one focus for us. And as digital continues to grow and to evolve, we continue to reevaluate what we want to do there and how much we place on it. But no, we love our partners at Comixology. We're really excited about Drive-Thru, and we're really seeing, you know, what more we can be doing with them. And it's one of those things that, you know, as business is business and new numbers come in every single day, pretty much, we're constantly reevaluating and we're constantly trying to evolve and maneuver. And the best part about us is, yeah, we're Valiant. We can adapt. We can be flexible. We can make a change, you know, instantly if we see something exciting going on. And that's really cool.
I love it. That's a good answer. All right, that's all I've got for you guys. I want to thank you for your time. And it? I'm definitely going to be, I told Greg we're going to do about 15, 20 minutes.
No, Marvin, it's been 17 minutes, so if you want to pick Matthew's brain about current comics, upcoming comics.
Yeah, what's the issue you want to know?
Good, all right.
Go for it,
I did have a question on EXO, because EXO's wrapping up this week. Mm-hmm. EXO is what got me into Valiant in, 93, I think it was. EXO Zero is the first Valiant book that I picked up. I love that book. You know, people sometimes make fun of like gimmicky covers or whatever, but sometimes there is something to it, right? Where it kind of sparks your interest. I remember going to a shop. It was like my second time ever going to a comic shop. I was 11 or 12, 93. I used to buy my comics at this little Korean convenience store on the corner near my house. And just randomly, I discovered that there were actual things called comic shops. And I went there, started buying my comics there. And then the second time I show up, I see this display of EXO Manowar number 0. And the rest is history, I guess you could say, because I've been with Valiant that long. But there is something about those cool covers, right? Even if sometimes it might be cheesy. I know you guys did that little joke about the googly eye variant. There's the...
I loved it so much.
It's funny, yeah.
It's fun. That's the point of all this. So I want to tell you a story that no one knows about yet. So last week, I think it was last week. It might have been a week, the week before. Sorry, the days blur together sometimes. But Fred brought in, because, you know, Fred is from that era. He was from the original Valiant. And Fred Pierce brought in a prototype sheet of the very first Chromium cover for Bloodshot number 1.
Nice.
This is what they sent to his house to approve. And he found it a couple months ago in his attic when he was spring cleaning and everything. And so I actually got to hold one of those proofing sheets that shouldn't exist anymore. Because that is truly something that changed the business. And I don't think it's really acknowledged how big of a change it was, because there would be no Chromium, there would have been no foil covers. What we do today, what you see in the industry with the lenticulars, that was one of the first.
Mm-hmm.
And it was groundbreaking. And it came out the same day as Death of Superman did Bloodshot number 1, which a lot of people also tend to forget about, which is so funny to me. there's a great story behind how that happened, too. But I think, you know... So I'm sorry. So I just wanted to tell that story. But what's the question about EXO? Sorry.
So the question about EXO. Yeah, I know. We got into it. I mean, I could talk EXO forever.
Just having fun.
Matter of fact, it's funny that you brought up that proof, because I actually own an EXO 0 proof as well. I found it a couple years ago.
Dude.
Yeah, I found it on eBay a couple years ago, so I had to have it.
Dude, can you send a photo of that over to us?
Yeah.
We'd
yeah.
love to see that.
Yeah. So EXO's ending this week. And I'm curious because being one of my favorite Valiant characters, mm-hmm. what your future plans are, if you could tease anything on EXO.
Ooh. Look at the last page of EXO this week.
Fair enough.
We got the last page of EXO this week. We're putting out a message this week as well to give a little tease. We're not going to give away a whole lot because we have a whole lot coming down the pike, quite frankly, that we're really, really excited about, and we want to make sure that the timing is right for when we roll out the whole big thing. And quite frankly, we want to be very respectful of Matt's run. He has put in an incredible 2+ years on EXO Manowar. It has been one of my absolute favorite runs of our company. But, you know, I think that you're going to see a little bit of a tease this week as far as what we got coming down the pike, who's going to be involved with it. And I'm very, very, very excited to get your guys' reactions. And then I'm even more excited for what you're going to see in the coming months as we roll out the full thing. But first and foremost, we're just so proud of what Matt has done. We're so proud of what this book has done, what it has meant to new fans and fans like yourself who've been with EXO since EXO Zero. It's been an incredible ride for this character, and we really, really, really can't wait to take you on the next one.
That's exciting. Yeah, I think you guys are doing some really interesting stuff right now. You know, having Cullen and Punk Mambo, I think, is a big win. I think Tinny's doing a great job. Yeah. And then you got Psylords coming up. Psylords is my second favorite book of all time. I know the original was super cheese, with the Valiant Vision and stuff. But, I love the hell out of that book. And people try to ask me, like, what it is that I love about it. And I don't know. I think it's just like the cheesy space opera thing. I just love, and I can't wait to see what Fred does with it.
I want you and I to talk again after you get a look at Psylords number one. No, I really do, because I want to hear your reaction to it. I'm very excited for Psylords. This is that, like, balls-to-the-wall, fun space adventure book that I think our fans deserve. I don't think we've necessarily given them this kind of story before. Fred Valente's take on this is just so grin-inducing. Like, you can't help but read the script and read the pitch and see where things are going for the next year on this book and not get really giddy, quite frankly. Renato Guedes' art, I hope you've seen the previews that we've been putting out there. And it has just been, like, he's been turning in pages like never before of any of his other work on Valiant. So we're really excited to take everybody on a really fun ride in a section of the Valiant universe that hasn't been explored yet. And there are big things to come from this book. And this is a book that's really going to stand on its own. It's going to grow on its own terms. And then what's going to come, you know, down the pike a year from now, I don't know if you guys are ready. But it's going to be something. And don't worry, if you want a little bit of cheese, we've got something we're going to be announcing in the next week or so to go along with the book itself that I very, 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 very much hope, sir, that you're going to be giving us a call. And that's all I'll say about that, you and all the listeners out there.
I hope you're doing a Viewmaster edition of Psylords. See, there's an idea for you.
I'm not gonna tip my hat to anything. I will say that we look very forward to hearing from fans about Psylords in a couple weeks.
Excellent, I love it. Yeah, Fred did a fantastic job on Orange and Armstrong, so I'm looking forward to see this fresh take on Psylords as well.
Yep, and here's how good of a job he did is what I like to say. We had a gentleman with us, John Petrie, who we spoke a little bit about when he was at South Carolina Comic Con. So when I recommended John to come into Valiant originally, I handed him a stack of books, and he knew Archer and Armstrong was going to be fine, but it wasn't going to be his favorite book. And a week later, I checked in with him, and I said, so what's your favorite? What's really speaking to you? And he could not stop talking about Archer and Armstrong. And he was so surprised that that was his favorite book. And when you read it, you see why. You see Fred's handling of character. You see how he handles tone. You see how he world builds, which he gets to do a ton of with Psylords, in this really heartfelt way that never forgets who the story is about, but also just leaves so many cool opportunities for the future and where the story can go. And I think he's going to craft something just as special with Psylords.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to you actually seeing it, my friend. I really can't wait. I'll come back
Sure.
You'll give me a talk.
Yeah, absolutely. We should definitely do it again, and we'll go deep into some books. I do want to thank you both for the time, though. And like I said, I don't remember meeting you, but Greg was awesome, so I look forward to meeting you, Matt, as well.
I can't say enough how much I appreciate you having me on. We can't say enough here at Valiant about the relationship we have with our fans is one of the things that really makes us special. It sets us apart from every other publisher out there, and I hear it from every other publisher out there. We hear it from creators that you guys make it a point to welcome into the Valiant family. And we understand that we are here in part because of your support. And we know that we have a very, very serious honor with these characters, with this world. And everything that we do in order to honor that trust that you have with us. And we are always looking to make sure that we have the same goal in mind. Tell great stories with great characters that are going to make people, new people, fall in love with it as much as we did when we read our first Valiant book. And we take it very seriously, and we talk about it every single day, and we always love getting a chance like this to speak directly to you and all the other diehards out there and the fans who have kept this place alive when there wasn't a building anymore, when there were no books coming out. It's such a special thing, and everybody here knows it, and everybody here is so proud to be a part of it. So I really cannot say thank you enough for you guys doing this type of podcast, for you inviting us to come on and speak about it, and getting to just continue that communication, and always know that we're here for you as much as you're here for us. And it's a team effort, and it's all about us going in the same place, trying new crazy fun ways to make sure everyone understands why this universe is so special and why everybody, old readers, lapsed readers, new fans of comics, let alone new comic book readers, should be paying attention and jumping into this place that we call home.
Love it. That's a great speech. You get a standing ovation.
Greg's not
standing ovation.
I am.
Shame on you, Greg.
Get the chair.
All right.
Man.
Yeah, Marvin, sure. That's what they all say.
But Marvin, thank you so much, man. I'm going to reach out to you via DM about sending you the latest round of PDFs. And just confirm your email one more time. I can make sure it's accurate on the press list so this doesn't happen again in the future. But I'll definitely forward you all to me.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate your time, guys.
Thank you so much. Talk to you again, buddy.
And thank you for listening to the Valiant Century Podcast with DeJuan Hammonds and me, Martin. Hello. You can find us on Twitter. That's a cool place to find us. DeJuan is at Collect Valiant. I'm at GeekVine. The show is still at Valiant_Central. I had to, matter of fact, add it back to my Twitter app because I hadn't had it on there for a while. So you can reach out to us there. It'd be fun. And we'll be back in a couple weeks. Maybe next time Travis will finally decide to join. He's on a secret mission. He went on the space elevator, Harada space elevator. So maybe he'll be back by then. Who knows? Catch you next time. Thank you.